Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of In the Eyes of Truth. Today with us is Marcelo Velasa. He is a blogger, software developer, geopolitical analyst, and he's Brazilian who got lost in Italy.
Right then. Where does one relocate properly? Desert? 40 degrees? No water? Forests? Rivers? Four seasons? Desert, 40 degrees, no water. Forests, rivers, four seasons.
It's actually much simpler than most people think.
Good Lord, that's less paperwork than a gym membership.
As a British man, I chose the place where I can still complain about the weather properly.
All right, let's head that way. Sounds good, I'm ready.
Move to Russia. Start a new life. It's easier with Moscow Connect. Website for details, moscowconnect.ru.
Hello, dear friends. Just want to remind you, if you like this video or you like what you hear, click like, subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet. Send it to your friends. Let's grow this channel. Maybe we can finally hit it up to 100,000. That'd be a good round number for the summer. So, let me know, leave some comments, and give a thumbs up. So, look forward to seeing you in the next video. Cheers. it was the pasta. They laid a pasta trail out, and oh crap, I'm in Italy again.
It's actually good.
I got nothing against Italy in general, just the government. where were we? Marcelo, welcome to the channel. I've been on his channel several times. If people want to find you, where can they find you?
Well, so besides the Italy. Channel, yeah, hopefully not here in Italy, but
we're looking for you.
Looking for me, yes. So the channel's name is the Imprensa de Destruição em Massa. It's in Portuguese, for Portuguese people and Portuguese speaking. I also have some English interviews with you, for example, and Larry Johnson, and every now and then I have some English speaking invites. But is the it means the press of mass destruction, and I have also the, you know, all the social media like Instagram, TikTok, X, and even VooContact and Telegram. All of them are at IDDEM_TV. So
cool.
Except from YouTube, also Rumble and BitChute, and yeah, but mostly in YouTube right now. I'm very more active than the other ones. Thank you for having me, Stan.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I've tried Rumble and I've tried RuTube. RuTube loaded up my videos and then they disappeared and nobody can say why. And Rumble, you know, 3-hour load up, it gets a 95% drops. And after like four times of that an entire day, I was like, man, screw this. You know? But people say
that's why I only
success.
Go for live streams.
Yeah.
It's easier. Yeah. Start and done.
It's, but yeah, some of those platforms, I don't know. It's, I haven't tried Contact platform. I mean, I'm on Contact, but just as a personal account, I don't do much on it. Talk to people.
Yeah. I mean, I just have it because, you know, by having it, it's slowed down. It's stopped by a couple of months since I've been slightly out of the production. But I only do live stream and then it's there. If Russian people that speak Portuguese wants to watch it, it's there.
Don't know how many of those are. A bit less than Spanish speaking Russians. But, Russians tend more toward English and German. And now Chinese. Chinese is a very big, it's the future. I mean, we've got very good. You know, one of the problems with the US is, in the army, we used to have this demotivation meme. The beatings will continue until morale improves. Well, the U.S. lives that. You know, the worst thing we could have is China and Russia become allies. So we're going to beat both China and Russia, drive them together, because they're becoming allies. We're going to beat them harder. You know that. And then somewhere down the road, China and Russia said, "Hey, you know, we're actually pretty good friends. We can live with each other. This is pretty good. It's not just convenience." So, what is Brazil's position right now with the U.S.? Because the U.S. has screwed around in your politics quite a bit.
So look, some time ago, I was watching Alexander Mercury's, which you know very well, of course.
Yep.
And he said something that I think was, well, mostly everything that he says is pretty much spot on. But I think that one was very spot on. You know, the past empires, they were empires. And they were pretty much saying, we are empires, and that's what we do. And live with that. The United States, what Putin calls the Empire of Lies, it's been the Empire of Lies. Also, the British has also twiggled things around to kind of look nice. But the United States has always tried to, propagandized as, the bastion of liberty, of freedom. And we were just talking about that.
The arsenal of democracy. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And all these very powerful words and, very beautiful things. But at this point, they just can't do it anymore. I was very impressed. When I moved out from Brazil, I first went to Switzerland. I was working at CERN.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, after this, I want to ask you a question or two, sir.
Yeah, sure. This moment when I moved, it was 2015. It was more or less the time of the bombing of Aleppo by Russia. Not the bombing of Aleppo. That was the deal. Russia was attacking ISIS.
Yeah.
And when I left Brazil, Russia was together with the United States attacking ISIS and protecting Aleppo. When I arrived at Switzerland, the news were saying that Russia was bombing Aleppo. So you understand, yes. It's not a lie, but you understand the very tricky thing that they were doing that. Of course, you understand.
Oh, yeah.
And when it came to Ukraine situation in 2022, that was off the charts because the worldwide media was absolutely in the same pace.
Yep.
And I'm talking about Brazil, I'm talking about Italy, France, Switzerland.
Too.
In Brazil too, that was the interesting part. And well, because the media in Brazil it's basically owned by media companies, or at least paid by United States money, APAC, USAID, all this Soros, all these people, they inject a lot of money in the Brazilian media.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was very interesting. And by luck, I was sharing at CERN, I was sharing the office with a Russian guy. And it's actually very interesting because we are very alike, Brazilians and Russians, but we are very different as well in our way of communicating. Russians are very on your face,
yeah,
and we Brazilians, we are too emotional. We Westerns are too emotional, and that's not a bad thing, but in these interactions we become pretty good friends there. And when this I was already in Italy. But when 2022 happened, the special military operation, I wrote to him, and I'm very sarcastic, and I just cannot be serious for too long. It kind of makes my brain hurt. And I wrote him and said, "Dude, can you please tell your uncle, talking about Putin, to get the hell out of Ukraine?" And for the first time, he wrote me, "So look." He was very serious at this point. He was not very open to even discuss the situation. "So look, there are things that had to be done, and this is not black and white, this is not as simple." That was spot my curiosity about the whole thing. And then he sent me the link. Very interesting. He sent me the link for a video from Gonzalo Lira. I don't know if you remember him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who was killed
murdered
by
Ukraine, American citizen.
Murdered
Nobody
by
gives
Ukraine.
A damn. Yeah, it's government.
Who cares?
Whatever.
Yeah. He got arrested just like a couple of days after making a big video about Viki Nuland. Just to point out. And then I started this curiosity. So, okay, the question was not about me or the channel or how I started this entire crazy project. It was about Brazilian relations with Russia. So we had always, Brazil is a neutral country as definition, by law, by the foreign ministry. It's a neutral country. We always had very good relations with most peoples around the world. We try to, at least, have good relations with most people around the world. And to be quite honest about that, there's a lot of bad things that we can speak about Europe and Europeans, but they do like Brazilians, and that's interesting. So the relations between Brazil and Russia has been improving, has having ups and downs, and it's hard to define. And this is one of the things that I try to do in the channel. It's hard to define who's responsible for that. It's almost sure it's not the government or the country as well, but the interference. Brazil is in a very delicate position. Brazil is the second huge empire in Americas, in the same hemisphere as the United States. And as people say, you know, United States will never allow to have a second empire in his same hemisphere. I like usually to start because people are usually not familiarized with the Brazil as a whole. I would like to start with the geographic insights. So, if you close your eyes or open a map and look at it, you're gonna look at Brazil for a couple of seconds, and you're gonna notice a lot of things. So, first of all, we have a huge, what's it called? Littoral? No, board with the Atlantic Ocean. Okay,
right.
It's huge. It's simply huge.
Right.
We have a lot of water. We have rivers going everywhere in every directions. Actually, it's one, if not the biggest sweet water deposit in the planet. We have the biggest river, which is the Amazon, with the biggest flow, which is the Amazon. Mm-hmm. So the Amazon, I did bread math once, and the Amazon itself, the river, mm-hmm. The amount of water that it simply throws on the ocean could supply the entire planet 12 times a day.
That's pretty good.
And that's sweet water going to become salt water, okay?
Right.
We also have a huge water deposit together with Paraguay in the south, center-south, which is the Guarani deposit. So this deposit is also huge. It's one of the biggest of the planet as well. And, mm-hmm. and plus everything else that we have. So water we have in very abundance. So we have land. Brazil, for those that doesn't know, the land of Brazil is bigger than the United States without Alaska. Okay, if you take out we have this perception because there's that effect, I forgot the name, you know, the curve of the earth
right.
on the maps, and United States looks bigger, but Brazil is actually bigger than the United States. It's about half the size of Russia.
And while Russia is not a third of the world like it looks on the map, it's still bigger than all of Latin of all of South America.
Exactly.
Just saying.
Exactly. No. Exactly. But Brazil is about half of its
not
size.
Not necessarily as good climatically, but
which you just made a very excellent point. Climate. Brazil is the only country in the planet that has three climate zones. That brings us four crops on the year, all around the year. That's rare. That's rare. You can check the map. Mm-hmm. It's the only, well, I mean, of course, you can perhaps No, because the United States is too far from Ecuador. So we have Ecuador and the Capricornia line crossing us. So three climate zones. We have a lot of things, minerals, all kind. We have the Amazon forest, the rainforest, it's huge. We have one thing called red earth. You have the black earth in Russia, Ukraine, and this area. We have the red earth. The red earth is it's called Terra Rossa. The red earth is, I don't know how well compared to the black earth, but in Brazil it was there was an old saying that said whatever you plant will grow. As we were discussing about Russia a couple of weeks ago in my channel.
Well, there is a thing
And
that
there is
Brazil.
one thing just to finish, there's
Sorry for
one
that.
thing that is Brazil does not have. Can you imagine it, or should I just pop this out as a
Uranium,
No, we have in abundance,
a
and we can
mine
also make yellow
press,
cake. We have that in abundance as
woke people.
well. Too much.
Okay, you got woke people.
We do
Winter?
not have exit. We also have that. We
Well,
have ski.
it's
We
in the
have ski.
mountains.
Po
Yeah, you do have
It's in the
mountains.
south, deep south. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do not have an exit to the Pacific Ocean.
True.
So recently we saw about relations with the United States. Recently we saw the United States pretty much grabbed back Panama Canal.
Oh, yeah.
And we have Argentina with Milei on the south that has the other passage to get to Brazil, which is the Cape Horn and Magellan Strait. So now Brazil is kind of isolated because, of course, we cannot even consider the polar cap, the North Polar Cap. So now Brazil is isolated. But okay, we have the Belt and Road. The Belt and Road should get to the tip of Africa, to the western tip of Africa, and that's easy peasy to get to
Wait a
Brazil.
minute, you can go around the North Pole. The North Route's open.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously.
So far it is. So far it is. But you understand the point. The direct connection between
Yeah.
China and Russia to Brazil is blocked. It's well, perhaps not 100% blocked, but you have to go all around the globe to which, by the way, is round. Which
Oh no, it's flat.
roundish.
Every other planet is a sphere, but Earth is flat.
No, it's just that we are facing then the flat part.
Those people actually put money together to buy a rocket to go up and take photos of the flat Earth. I don't know why they didn't just go to the edge and climb off and see the elephants that the planet's on and the big turtle below that. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's just so
You
ridiculous.
can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. But it's all part of the game, the making people stupid game.
Yeah, they
And
do that well, pretty well on them on their own. A lot of people
there
do, not everybody, but far from it. But quite a few people, just they revel in their own stupidity. Most of those
there
people are in the Euro Parliament.
That's also true.
Couldn't resist.
It's even better that you don't resist. This is the best live stream ever. So, yeah, we have this issue. Now we are building a train line from São Paulo, which is the biggest shipyard, not shipyard, but where
Board,
you
board.
port. Yeah, the biggest port of Brazil, all the way to Peru. If I'm not mistaken, where China is building, well, has built a huge port to receive, to bypass the United States. Basically, that's the whole thing about this. The Belt and Road is to bypass the United States blockades everywhere.
And they're
Yeah.
trying to blockade. Again, and they've gotten Indonesia to start talking about cutting that's. Which is not going to help Indonesia any, but okay.
Well, actually, China is actually slicing Malaysia in half. to build something like the Panama Canal. And once that's done, what are you going to do? You already have Singapore, which is a big issue for China. And then you have this Indonesia. But Indonesia, they are propagandized this in the West very strongly. But Indonesia is kind of tell them to fuck off. They don't care about this. They don't want this kind of trouble. They are receiving a lot of investment from China. Most of those countries are. All of them actually are. So they don't care about this geopolitical. So they're making bucks, and they want that.
Now, are
And
you worried that because the only real answer that Americans have to the Belt and Road Initiative, and I've seen the Belt and Road Initiative in action in Republic of Georgia, where they just built this gigantic modern in many areas suspended on stilts roadway going. They dug I think like a dozen new tunnels through the mountains. I mean, just a project that Georgia could have never built, and they built it. And it's just part of it. But the only thing the Americans have to answer for that is revolutions and civil wars and overthrows of the governments involved. Because they have no counter proposal, other than we're just going to destroy your country.
But that's a big issue. We had in Brazil, coming back to Brazil, we had color revolutions one after another since the what they call the redemocratization of the country after the military regime was well, ousted, but not ousted, they just left. We're retired of this, which is interesting historical context because in 1964, we had what is called the military coup. Before that, we had actually in 54, we have a revolution in the 30s, and then a president that is very popular still today, that was Getúlio Vargas. So Getúlio Vargas in 54, he put a bullet in his chest because shadow forces were interfering. So he basically exited the scene. He wrote a very emotional
Willingly
letter.
or unwillingly put a bullet in his chest.
It's well, he wrote an exit letter, a
Well, that
very
doesn't matter.
powerful letter, very powerful letter, where it ends with a very interesting quote that I live life to enter history. He actually entered history as kind of a hero for that. That because if you take the picture of the 50s, what we were seeing was assassinations and persecutions from socialist leaders all around the planet. And he was not a socialist leader, but we were also having the military coups all around Latin America.
Right, Operation Condor.
Gonna have Chile, you're gonna have well, all around it, French, exactly. That postponed by 10 years the coups in Brazil because there it was about to happen. But this, I don't know if it was willing. I mean, it's considered historically it was willing, okay? And there's no pushback so far on that. But I don't know if it was willing or unwilling. The reality is that it united the people, and it was and the coup was postponed by 10 years, which happened in 64. It was not a military coup, it was a political coup. Okay, so basically the parliament vacant the president chair, and the military say, oh, there's an empty chair there. I'm gonna sit on it. And they stayed in power until 89, basically, where you have the end of Cold War and the down of the Berlin Wall, all of that, and then we have the what's so-called a redemocratization of the country, which entered the new dark era. Because although the military regime in Brazil, well, the military junta, whatever you want to call, was aligned with the United States, because that's what basically it was, keep America under the United States umbrella. Although it was aligned, there was a sparkle. A sparkle, perhaps, is being rude, but there was a lot of sovereignty on these governments. And they were doing what the United States should do, what China does to its neighbor countries, get investments, building infrastructure,
Right.
and pumping the country economy. But that wasn't enough. So when
Is
it
it ever?
is it ever? Exactly. So there was sovereignty in Brazil, a little bit, not too much because he couldn't, but a little bit of sovereignty in Brazil. When it comes to democracy, then things start to go out of control. We have, surging inflation and stagflation and high inflation, all that destroying the country's economies and all that. But then in 2002 enters Lula to the scene, Luiz
Right.
Inácio Lula da Silva, who is the now current president of Brazil. So he served two mandates, 8 years, from 2002 to 2008, to 2010, sorry. And then Dilma Rousseff, which you remember a couple of minutes ago, was his su successor, serving also 1.5 mandate because she was impeached. Which, by the way, there was an impeachment before him as well, from a president called Collor, Fernando Collor. So look, that's very interesting. Lula was the in 2002, we had from 89 to 2002, Lula was the first president of Brazil after the redemocratization that received the presidential strip from another elected president. So the first elected president that received the strip from another elected president.
Without overthrowing
Because
them.
The first president elected actually died before
Ah,
taking
okay.
part. So, well, died, it should happen. The guy had a
Yeah.
stomachal problem, intestinal problem, which, by the way, his butler also had and died. I don't know. And his butler was very known by having dinner with him in the table. So who would say? And then the vice president got to the assumed. So he was not elected. He was the vice elected vice president, but he was the vice president. Then he passed it to this guy I told you, Collor, and he was overthrown. He was impeached. So the vice president took possession and then gave it to the first elected Fernando Henrique Cardoso, FHC. And then this guy served two terms and then passed it to Lula. And so then in 2016, Dilma Rousseff got impeached and entered Michel Temer, which is pretty much a sold out to the United States. And after him, we had Jair Bolsonaro, which by the way is now in jail. And his son is in the United States asking the United States to invade Brazil. So.
Yeah, Clinton, I'm sorry, Trump has mentioned his name quite a few times. Lola, as I recall, wasn't exactly very popular in the U.S. either. They really
No.
didn't like him.
Yeah, because when he comes to, but that's very interesting because Brazilian elections and United States elections have a 2 year are 2 year apart, the presidential elections. So when Brazil has presidential elections, basically the United States midterms. What happened was that Bolsonaro came to power, which by the way, his marketing guy was that Stephen Bannon or something like that, which is the same as Trump.
Oh, yeah,
Steve
Bannon.
Bannon, yeah. So Bolsonaro comes to power in the middle of Trump's first mandate. So when Trump is not reelected, Bolsonaro, which was taken by certain that Trump would be reelected, Bolsonaro become, orphan from a godfather. So basically, we had 2 years of Brazil being ruled by Trump tweeters. It was amazingly stupid. It was clear that the president of Brazil was waiting for Trump to tweet some shit to come out and speak some shit
God.
based on Twitter. So this is also a very good president. He privatized the Brazilian refineries, oil refineries, ethanol refineries and biodiesel refineries, which is a good alternative to oil, by the way.
But you have tons of oil.
And that he did on his last year of mandate. After, yeah, but it's not, well, we have tons of oil. Now our farmers who sell
Hold up, hold up. Repeat that because the internet's decided to freeze up. Hold up, hold up.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on,
Okay.
internet. Internet. Work. We got to sacrifice some virgins out back for the internet gods. Ah, come on. We just had a thunderstorm come through, so it may be screwing up things.
I'm seeing you pretty well, but
Are you? Okay, you're like
yeah,
frozen.
it's also
Fro
stormy.
Yeah, okay, go ahead, go ahead.
Not froze, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, what was I saying? Yeah. Bolsonaro,
Yeah.
he. I mean,
Go ahead, go
you're
ahead.
frozen?
No, I can
Good?
hear you. Go ahead and talk.
Okay. Gave the favor of to Brazil to sell the oil refineries to the Saudis. So now we have our competitors, the oil
Wait a
producers
minute,
and
wait a minute, wait a
refineries.
minute. They sold the oil platforms, the Brazilian oil platforms, to the Saudis?
The refineries,
Oh,
not
the
the
refineries?
platforms,
Okay. But
the
they sold the
refineries.
refineries to the Saudi? Why?
I mean, yeah, that's a good question, which someone should ask him. And now, because this is the liberal mindset that was put inside Brazilians' head, and so people now think about profit, profit. Well, Petrobras could profit better, could profit more. Yeah, to what detriment? Petrobras had during his government, Petrobras has huge record profits, but the maintenance of everything was on hold for years and years. So things were just degrading. At some point, things are going to break apart. You're
Oh,
going
yeah.
to sell assets. You're going to, as refineries, oh, but biofuel is not being very profitable. It's not supposed to be profitable. It's supposed to be, good for the country. It's supposed to be an alternative to oil. It's supposed to do its job, not to be profit. It was a national industry. It's still a national, but it's split, open market. What's it called? Open papers, whatever it's called in English. So almost 50% of it is owned by people, investors. Why? Why do we have that? There's so this liberal mindset in Brazil has becomes like a virus, a big bacteria, a pandemic situation as of stupidity. So he sold the things to the Saudis because he received the jewelry, and that's why he's in jail by now, by the way. So that's corruption. That's called corruption in the dictionary. If you open the dictionary, you're gonna see corruption. You're gonna see a picture of Bolsonaro receiving jewelry, and that happened just in the last year of his mandate. And then Lula won. So pay attention. Lula won during the mandate of Biden, and Lula is, at least ideologically, if you can say so, it's aligned to the Democrats. Woke stuff, all those bullshit that they bullshit people to be bullshit. And that was all right. So remember, first thing that Lula did when he win is went to he went to the White House. He was humiliated. He had to wait for Biden for like 1 or 2 hours to be received. Then
You
his
mean what the
wife, the
Chinese
first
did
lady
to
of
Trump?
Brazil.
The first time.
Exactly. But so he was humiliated. The first lady, Jill Biden, did not receive the first lady of Brazil. She refused. She said she had a headache. Yeah, because you're just the first lady. You can have headaches and not receiving, you know, people. And then, we had 2 years of Brazil again, you know, on the news. Lula was traveling everywhere to Europe, to BRICS summits. He actually missed the big BRICS summit in Valdai. Oh, not Valdai, the one in Russia. Was it Valdai?
Yeah, it's Valdai. The
BRICS summit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he actually missed because he had hit his head. You know, he fell on the shower or something like that. All right, let's skip that one. So he didn't flew, he missed that. And then the next year was the mandate of Brazil, presidency of BRICS. And it was shortened, you know. Instead of having the meeting in August, we had in June, July, something like that. It was shortened, and then India took the chair. But the thing here is that the relations. Oh, by the way, about Bolsonaro, when shit was about to hit the fan and the economy to collapse in Brazil in his last mandate, especially because he sold the refineries, he went to Russia to buy. That's 2022. He went to Russia a week before the special military operation starts to buy oil, diesel and fertilizers from Russia. So yeah, Putin kind of saved his ass, you know.
Yeah, Brazil and buys a lot of fertilizer from Russia. It's like $6 billion worth.
Yeah. I think Russia is the biggest supplier. Then we have some Middle East suppliers.
Well, Middle East, biggest Middle well, East we is, had. Qatar had. It's very much had. In the past.
Yeah, exactly.
Which not is for the next 5-7 issue. Years.
Which is a big issue, because remember when I said about Brazil having four crops a year?
Right.
That kind of needs fertilizer to be pumped. Even though we have a good soil and everything, many of the production needs fertilizer, and we're not producing it. Well, for the last 8 years, president after president are saying that, we're going to invest in fertilizer plants. We haven't.
That's a good time to start.
Up there.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
And Russia is increasing its production. This year is supposed to be a bit of an increase. Like, I mean, it's something like 5% over all of Russian increase. But you know, so globally, that'll be maybe like about a 1 or 2% increase. Consider global exports. Russia would have gone from maybe 40 to 41, 42%. But yeah, there's no way Russia can close that hole that Qatar is. Qatar is gone. Gone.
Well, let's remember two other things, which we just talked about. Remember when I said that we don't have exit to the Pacific? That's right. A problem. Then we have the issue of the Shadow Fleet, you know, pretty cool name. That's another problem. When ships starting to be hitting, they haven't yet too much. I mean, in the ocean, not in the Black Sea. That's going to be a huge problem for Brazil.
Put the Marines on there and arm them up. I mean, it's the only way to get out of it is arm up the ships, make it cost, make the Europeans pay.
Yeah, but remember when I said that we had a military government for many years?
Of course.
Kind of still haven't sink in the people's throat. There was a lot of propaganda, you know, the military coup, and it was violent, and they killed people. Yeah, it's not, they were not sweethearts, but compared to the other ones in South America, it was a piece of cake. Plus, Brazilians were not that much into, you know, oh, let's get commies to rule the country. So what happened is that, well, thanks also to President Lula and also President Dilma Rousseff, there was a reopening investigation, you know, like a witch hunt. on the militaries of Brazil. And they were demoralized, and they were, completely, because you could say that Brazilian militaries were very nationalist people. Nowadays, yeah, you're gonna still find some national sentiment on high-ranked people that's been there for a while, but young ones, they're pretty much sold out for NATO. You know, they blink when they hear the Navy SEALs or whatever, the Challengers and those crappy equipments. So that's a problem to Brazil. We had, well, not only dismantle our defense industry, we have also been, bamboozled on it. And we had you remember Iraqi War, the Second Iraq War.
Of course.
We had a big sale of tanks. We had a great tank. It was the Osório. We had a big sale of tanks to Saddam, and when it popped out, well, Brazil was forbidden to sell, and then the guarantors did not pay. Iraq did not pay, of course, and our tank industry broke,
Oof.
basically. Brazilian government should have bought those tanks and said, no, we buy it, we need it. It didn't. It preferred to buy cheap Leopards from Germany, whatever, the naval industry in 2008, I told you, I worked in the offshore naval industry for 6 years. In 2010, did you know that in 2007, Brazil was the third biggest ship producers in the planet?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was China, South Korea, Brazil, third one.
You know, 2007, and you got to figure by that point, the Germans had destroyed the shipbuilding industry in Poland, and in Greece, and were dismantling it in, I think, in Italy too, at that point. All part of the EU, the charm of the EU.
The charm of the EU. Yeah, and we were speeding ships. I was working like a maniac. I was going up and down in Brazil everywhere. We were literally speeding ships, vessels, and platforms to that matter. So we were building like maniac. And then 2008 happened, and then 2010, Brazil, kind of suffered the consequences of 2008. And actually, it was more related to the coup in Saudi Arabia, where Mohammed bin Salman became the sovereign leader, whatever it's called, thanks to Obama, which was pretty much a attempt to attack Russian oil production, because Russia, of course, is a gas station with government.
Yeah, and space stations and trains and massive industry. Other than that,
Don't
just
tell them that. Shh.
Just
They
ignore
might
everything else.
learn.
That's right. We're just a gas station.
So, yeah, they tried that to destroy Russia. And of course, Russia was not destroyed, but Brazilian economy was. Why? Because we don't know. And we had this conversation in my channel about the shelling, what I learned. It's not fracking. Brazil doesn't do shelling. Brazil is basically deep water oil prospection.
Right. We had
But
Brazilian, I mean, when I was in Cameron and Halliburton, we had a lot of Brazilian
yeah,
client.
exactly.
Petrobras was a pretty major client in Latin America.
It's a big freaking industry,
Oh, yeah.
and the thing is that deep sea oil is it's not easy and cheap to extract. It's not like, if you go to Saudi Arabia, you put your thumb on the ground and spit oils.
Right.
So then the oil dropped to $20 a barrel, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of broke Petrobras. Well, it didn't exactly broke, but it took it to his knees.
But it's a
Yeah, go ahead.
200 plus on the spot market right now. So, they've
And
got to be happy.
that's another interesting fact, because back in that time, 2010, 2011, perhaps, the media was completely completely, well, 2008, if I'm not mistaken, and they were, in completely happiness. Wow, the oil is 120. We're gonna get rich. Well, now the dollar is almost at 20, and they are holding their hands and saying, "We're gonna get poor." I'm sorry, don't we produce oil? Yeah, we sold our refineries. That's right. So we cannot refine Brazilian oil. And plus, Brazilian oil is a little bit more, what's it called? Viscous. I don't know if that's the word, the correct word.
Heavy, heavy.
The viscous, heavy, heavy. Exactly. It's a bit more heavy. So what we did in the past was we sold our oil. Yeah, we produce, we are self-sustaining oil producer. So the oil that we produce can sustain the country consume. But we do not refine our oil because we sell it to petrochemical industries outside. And then we buy Saudi oil and refine those. Which, by the
Yeah.
way, did I mention that we sold the refineries to the Saudis? Yeah, so we don't, now we have an issue to receive the Saudi oil, and we have an issue to find the Saudi oil that we receive, if we receive any. And we did not build capabilities to refine our own oil.
That's
And
not
yeah, we
good.
had, yeah, that's not good. We had a very prominent oil prospector just next to us called Venezuela. You remember that country?
Yeah,
Yeah,
this is the
it's
51st
there.
state, if you look at that new little thing Trump's put out.
And
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Venezuelans.
Rodriguez has sold off the uranium. I mean, she's turning into a dime store whore.
She didn't sold off. The United States confiscated it. There's no payment involved.
So she just gave it to him.
She just gave it to him.
Yes, massa. Can I kiss your arse, massa? Here, have some of uranium, massa.
Precious, my precious.
Well, Trump's planning on turning Utah into a tropical zone because they got to build those giant AI centers, and all the water has to go in there, and all the heat output. They need uranium. By the way, Iran's uranium is worth $20 billion. Look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 600 kilo, right?
Yeah, because they
Grams.
can dilute it back
Grams.
down to the level what you need for a nuclear power plant. Yeah.
Or they can, just build more bombs. Whatever. Remember when you say Utah and water? Remember back in the beginning of the interview when I
Oh,
mentioned
yeah.
that Brazil has a lot of water? And we also have, oh yeah, I forgot to mention, we have the biggest waterfall on the planet, which is in the south of Brazil, where we have the hydro plant, the hydroelectric plant. And that's binational. We share it with Paraguay. And remember that I said also that Paraguay has part of the Guarani Reserve of water. Yeah, the United States has just built, is just building AI whatever centers, computer centers in Paraguay, and want to do the same in Brazil. And we do have a lot of water. Our energy is not the cheapest, but hey, we can build more. We have capabilities. We do have production of yellow cake. We actually produce 26% enriched uranium in Brazil for peaceful means, if that's whatever they call. Yeah, which, by the way, we don't have the bomb, as everybody should know. And it is on our constitution to not develop atomic bombs. So, when you have a very angry and getting poor country and powerful as the United States just next to us, we should be starting to think, rethink things.
A bomb.
And
Yeah.
Lula, by the way, remember this. Yeah. Lula, by the way, remember Trump, that we have it on our constitution.
Probably
Perhaps
not a good
he should
thing.
have,
He shouldn't have said
yeah,
that.
he shouldn't have said that.
Really, my
Oh,
yeah. My precious. Come
my
here, my little
precious
ones. Come
country.
here. Get in
Yeah,
the
look,
oven.
That one was spot on. When I have weekly shows with Larry Johnson, our common friends. That one I was spot on. 1 year, perhaps 1 year or couple, 6 months before Trump got the mandate, the second mandate, I said, "Look, Southcon activities are going to get out the charts." And he said, "I don't know, Trump, because there was this belief, and I think even I myself was kind of believing that that Trump would come with this, MAGA, Make America Great Again. So let's leave the rest of the world kind of alone and focus, internalize our problems." Yeah, we were wrong.
Boy, that didn't last, did
That didn't last for like a week. So,
it's the neocons, or neo-libs, whatever, they same group, really.
exactly. It's just the deep state. They rule the game. It doesn't matter if you put Trump, Kamala, whatever. It's just going to work the way they want it to work. With the what's his name? The guy with the chick's name, Lindsay, whatever. He's going
Lindsay Light in the Loafers, Graham? Lady Lindsay? Yeah.
Lady
Lindsay, I spent
Lindsay.
$800,000 in Kiev over 3 nights.
Ukraine.
Yeah. And he posted it as a public expense. Yeah. That
It's
Lindsay?
documented,
Yeah.
that
The
Lindsay.
combat lawyer, the combat Air Force lawyer, Lindsay? Yeah. Well, I'm familiar with him.
Whatever, yeah.
South Carolina, how do you have any pride left when that's what you elect? Constantly to power.
Yeah,
Jeez. I mean, seriously.
exactly.
Have some pride. The state of Thurmond goes to this. Oh, jeez. Thurmond would have just backhanded Lindsay, I think.
So yeah, we had this hope, I would say, hopium, but it didn't last. And Larry said, "Yeah, you are pretty much right." They immediately focused, and that was something that Biden has forgotten, to focus in South America. He was so focused on Ukraine that
You're welcome. You're welcome.
the
We took all his focus away from you. You're most welcome.
United States, wrong time, wrong time. Because to credit of Luiz Inácio, from 2002 to 2016, yeah, we had problems. One of those was the bringing the Petrobras to its knees with the barrel of oil, that ship. We cannot handle $20. 60, yeah, that's all right for us. But 20,
Yeah,
it's just too little.
20 is pretty damn low for everybody.
Even for Russia. But I think Russia still profits from it in
Well,
20.
Russia took
But
profits, but you got to figure all these countries, you're profitable, like the Saudis are profitable, but they're not profitable because they have social expenses that they have to pay out of that money, and those social expenses are much higher. Russia's, I think, was barely eking out anything because it also has social expenses, but it wasn't going into the red like the Saudis. The Saudis are going heavy in the red with that. So yeah,
Yeah.
that's pretty hard. $20, but we don't have to worry about that anytime soon.
Most likely, yeah. So to their credit, the economy was blooming. Well, also to the credit of the former presidents, they were liberal fuckers, but there was some development. There was some housekeeping done in Brazil. I would not say it was perfect. I would not say it was even good, but it was a housekeeping. And when you do the cleaning, you end up, at least, breathing a little bit. And those governments, the two mandates from Lula and 1.5 from Dilma, they were very stable, kind of stable in the political matter, at least. That brought Brazil to a very good, commodities soar, and we were selling a lot and building a lot. We are also deindustrializing a lot for a long time. So,
That's very bad.
yeah, we have this green shit in Brazil, the green, I don't want to say the word I want to say.
Marcel, I'm we're running out of time.
All right.
We need a continuous conversation. I want to propose continue it next week,
Of course,
about the
let's
same
do it.
time. And by
Sure,
the
sure.
way, as much as Michael Moore is woke and left, he did do a good film that the left just ate him up on. The Planet of the Humans, if I remember correctly. It's a documentary on just how fake this entire green industry crap is. It pollutes way worse than what we already have, and it doesn't do even half of what needs to be done. So if you haven't seen it, I think it's free on YouTube. It used to be free on YouTube.
I'm
I
gonna
think
check. I
just
haven't heard about it.
Planet of Humans, if I remember correctly. Oh yeah, it's incredible. I knew a lot of this stuff anyways, but it just filled in a lot more holes. And the le I mean his suggestion is just radical. We should all be living in huts. Maybe have one transistor radio. But yeah, the left
There
just
was a
ate him
dude that
up
had
for
this kind of idea. It was called Unabomber.
it. Yeah, Tarzan. We'll play with the monkeys.
To conclude, so Brazil right now is in a difficult position, but is keeping at least in an average the relations with the rest of the world, especially Russia and China, at a very good level. So really, to finish this week, we had Lula went to the White House. So first of all, he was not, aggressively attacked by Trump. He actually called the terms of the meeting, and it was respected. And he said things very important. Brazil is open for business to whoever wants to do business, including China and Russia. So that kind of puts the in the face of the United States, look, we're going to do business with you, but we are also going to do business with them. If they have better proposals, we are going to do business with them.
Well, j just as a parting note, Trump did lay what like 40, 50% tariffs on Brazil, and then did an exclusion list that like 95% of your products were on that exclusion list.
Yeah.
It was like leather
And
purses, high-end leather purses, things like that didn't make the exclusion list. So.
and from that, Brazil started to pivot the production and selling to China.
Yeah.
Coffee. China is buying coffee like maniac now,
Good week.
which we were selling to to the United States. Sorry.
Yeah, Brazilian coffee is good. But when the crop doesn't fail.
If we have fertilizers, it's probably going to be a decent
I've
coffee.
had a I've been in me and my wife have been an owner of a coffee house before, so yeah. And we ran into the unexpected cold wave and a drought right before that. Oh, there's no Brazilian coffee. And we were given some Vietnamese coffee that said, oh, this is just as good. And you open it up, it's like, it smells like an ashtray. What the hell? And it tasted even worse. I'm like, I actually did taste it. I'm like, yeah, it tastes worse than it smells. So it's like, well, can we find something in Brazil? Yeah. So, yes.
Also soybeans. Now we are a big competitor to the United States, biggest in soybeans selling to China, a lot of things, and we're buying also. So, and China can pretty much replace anything that the United States can sell, and can even Russia can give can sell us the mini nuclear plants.
Oh yeah. Everything,
We
everything.
do yellow cake.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. That's an Iraq invasion right there.
Yeah,
Marco Rubio will be
pretty
like,
much.
yeah, Brazil's got yellow cake. We see, we've got the evidence. Here's my
Holding the
arthritis powder.
See, it's yellow. It's yellow. And it's kind of a cake.
Yeah. Hey, don't put anything past them. You never know. We will continue this, ladies and gentlemen. We will in
I'm
about a
sorry, I'm
week.
too
Actually,
prolaxic.
no problem. All right, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Cheers, bye.